Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to MISC first quarter financial year 2016 analyst briefing conference call. Mr. Param from MISC Investor Relations team will run through the agenda for today's briefing. Mr. Param, over to you.
Thank you, Aaron. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for participating in first quarter financial year 2016 analyst briefing. We have with us today Puan Rozaina Awang, VP Finance, Ms. Mei Wong, Senior General Manager, Corporate Planning and Development, Mr. Teo Paul Kang, General Manager of Corporate Planning and Development. We will start the session with financial highlights for the quarter's performance, which will be presented by Puan Rozaina Awang, followed by market environment and business outlook by Mr. Paul. At the end of presentation, we will open the line for a Q&A session. Our event manager will later provide instruction on the Q&A process. Before we start, I would like to bring to your attention to the disclaimer slide. During the presentation, we may make some forward-looking statements in reference to our plans and expectation. Actual results could differ due to unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors that are in many cases beyond MISC's control. With that, I pass the session to Puan Rozai for our first agenda, update on MISC's first quarter financial year 2016 financial performance. Puan Rozai, over to you.
Thank you, Param. Hi, everyone. As usual, we will go through the financial performance on the overview, then I'll go a bit detail on against preceding quarter. After that, we'll go through No, the other way around. I will go through against the same quarter last year, and then I will go through against the preceding quarter. The first one, our results for quarter one against quarter one last year. We closed revenue a little bit lower than last year, but our EBITDA and PBT are on a positive variance. On the revenue side, the main driver is actually the lower revenue that we have from our yard, MHB, as well as the lower revenue from our Puteri Class. As we know, we have talked about this in previous quarters, three of our Puteri Class vessels has already gone through the expiry of contracts, and actually one has actually back into charter with a reduced rate after the RLE. I mean, the repair life extension. That's the major driver of the revenue against quarter one last year. As far as EBITDA and PBT from operation is concerned, we are looking at positive variance because we do have, in quarter one, we received a termination notice from our client for two of our LNG vessels, i.e., the Aman Class vessels. Those are small vessels. The reason the client was asking for early termination because these two small vessels does not meet their requirement anymore, and hence they actually paid us termination fee as compensation. That has given rise to the higher EBITDA and PBT, subsequently PBT from operations. We also have non-recurring items, which is the reversal of our provision on the litigation claim of about 60 million. If we recall, I think in previous two quarters, we actually has talked about our litigation claim on our Equatorial Marine case. This case has been going on for very long, since 2008, and has finally come to a conclusion, and we have won the case. That has given us the position to reverse our provision of 60 million. We also have the MHI vessel further provision made in quarter one. We have four of these MHI vessels, as everyone knows. Those vessels, three of them has been laid up. The market has gone quite different from the positions that we had before. Those size of vessels are not the vessels that has that is being traded today. Hence, taking the view that the market is getting tougher on that, we have made further provision of about 48 million for the liner vessels. Going back to PBT from operations, we also have provision made for our two MOPUs. Our two MOPUs has a 10-year contract. We are on halfway of 5 years contract. However, the clients has also requested for early termination because this is purely because their own field has dried up, that they don't have the requirement for the facility anymore. This has actually been talked about for the past 1 year, and it finally has come to a conclusion that they need to terminate, they need to do the early termination. And for that, we have actually had to do the reversal of our receivable on the finance lease of about 60 million. Okay, so that's against quarter one last year. Moving on, against quarter four, preceding quarter, on a similar note, the revenue is lower, and the main driver is the low revenue in heavy engineering, mainly because most of the projects are nearing completion. And in the preceding quarter, quarter four 2015, we also had the recognition of our construction revenue for one of our finance lease asset under construction, which has given a high revenue in the preceding quarter. As far as EBITDA and PBT from operations concerned, even though we have all the same impact from the termination, the positive impact from the termination fee and the litigation claim, at the same time, in quarter four last year, we had a similar situation when we disposed Tenaga 2 and Tenaga 3. So that has lessened the positive impact and brings us to a position that slightly lower than preceding quarter. Okay. Moving on the next page is the profit or loss by segments. This is just to give a flavor that at the current position, LNG is still our main profit contributor. 71% of our profit comes from LNG, and this includes the termination fee of 100 million. We can see petroleum is going stronger. Petroleum, if we compare to last year, the profit is about 30 million better. For offshore, we are looking at a loss in offshore division, which is for the first time. But operationally, they are not in a losing position. But this is mainly coming from the provision that we made for the MOPUs that I've mentioned earlier. Okay, and looking at the financial performance on the balance sheet, I think it's still about the same position that we have been looking at. Our net debt is very small, about 75 million US, and total asset is still going strong at 11.3 billion US dollars. Okay, just to talk about, on the last page there, just to talk about the post quarter end corporate exercises. As everyone would have known, we have gotten the mandate from our shareholders during our EGM a few weeks ago to acquire the remaining 50% equity stake in our Gumusut Kakap Semi FPS Limited, our GKL. We will be completing the transaction within this month, and that will bring our the impact to the profit is another 50% of the Gumusut profit will come in, and we will also have the positive impact from the negative goodwill as we have put it in the circular. We have also acquired the remaining 50% equity stake in Paramount Tankers, with a cash consideration of 56.45 million. This is our to own the 6th Aframax tanker that was with the JV before. Okay. That's all. I'll pass it to Paul for the market environment.
Thank you, Pon Rozai. Good afternoon, everyone. I'll just share with you all what we see in the market today and also a little bit of what we will be expecting from the market going forward. I think in the LNG space, it's no doubt that spot rates have been weak and has been further weakened by the disappointing end to the winter period, as Japan and Korean demand has been much lower than expected. Japan just restarted its third nuclear plant in the first quarter, and we also expect a fourth nuclear plant to be reactivated in the second quarter. And in the Korean side, there's been a drawdown of further stocks of gas. So in addition to that, we also saw new bills being delivered to the market in the quarter. There's about 9 new bills that was delivered in the quarter. So putting further pressure on the spot market. In total, we are seeing roughly about 23 vessels currently being idled. So spot rates have actually halved from the start of first quarter in 2015. So currently, we're looking at about only around the 30,000 level for spot market rates. And hopefully, in the second quarter, with the restarting of the Angola LNG, we may see the removal of more tonnage. There are 7 LNG vessels which are currently attached to that project. Hopefully, that will sort of ease the oversupply market. But looking into 2016, 17, and 18, I think we don't expect the market to change very much from the current situation of oversupply. The delivery of new vessels are going to intensify from this year onwards. Last year, we only saw about 24 vessels being delivered, and this year, there's going to be 46 new vessels being delivered. But out of that, 20% of that 46 vessels are without time charter attached. So they are built on more of a speculative basis. And hence, this will put some further pressure on the spot market. Furthermore, what we see today, the changes in the gas prices, the narrowing of the arbitrage trading between the East and the West has further narrowed. Prices has dropped further. And for the first time, I think we're seeing that gas prices in delivered to Japan is now on equal par to the European gas prices. So the opportunities for spot trading has also narrowed. I think this will also put some pressure on the spot market. In the petroleum space, it's a slightly reversal of the fate of LNG. I think we've had a good run. The last year was very good for the petroleum space. We're still seeing that in the first quarter. In fact, I think the first quarter actually exceeded our expectation. It did much better than what we expected. The low oil price environment has actually played to our benefit, both in terms of the supply and as well as the low bunker cost. We see that the reluctance by OPEC countries to cap production, that has increased overall production in the market, and that has also increased the supply. In the quarter, we saw port congestions, some refinery shutdowns, which has given some volatility to the rates. But overall, we saw rates trending downwards as we come to the end of the winter season, as well as higher availability of vessels in the quarter. There were also higher deliveries of vessel in the quarter as well. And we think with the changes in the supply of oil, that is also putting some shift in the trading pattern of vessels. As we see OPEC countries increasing their production, and on the U.S. side, production has started to slide. We felt that there's going to be more demand for larger vessels trading from, especially in the Far East, from the Middle East to the Far East, or to from West Africa to the Far East. So benefiting the larger, longer haul vessels, longer haul voyages. Supply and delivery of vessels this year is going to be the game changer here. We feel that in 2016 and 2017, delivery of vessels is going to intensify. We saw very low deliveries of vessels over the last couple of years, which has really helped with utilization and the charter rates. But we expect the fleet growth this year to put some pressure on the rates and the market. The attractive charter rates currently, as well as the low scrapping prices, are not going to encourage much scrapping. So the removal of tonnage is also not going to improve the growth in fleet. But I think one thing that we can see is the slowing of new orders, where we felt that we see that financing for vessels in the market are tightening, as well as increase in production or inventories are leading to some offshore storage. These are some factors which will help to keep the market afloat. So for this 2016, I think there will be some pressure on the market as new vessel deliveries come into the space. In the offshore side, I think it's no big news that cut in CAPEX has already started to see new projects awarded cut back. As we've seen in the installation of new projects, most of them have been largely in shallow water. The cutbacks have very much in the space of the deep water assets. But I think going into this year, the next few years, where CAPEX is going to be slow for new projects, brownfields and asset replacement is probably the best bet for us. We see that over the next few years, there's actually estimated about 67 FPSO or FSOs that will expire. And immediately over the next 2 years, 34 assets are likely to be expiring. And unless oil price starts to recover above the $60 barrel per barrel, it's unlikely that we'll see a recovery of sanction of new projects, especially in the deep water segment. So, but given the nature of the business today and the challenging environment for some of our oil majors, I think, you know, there are plenty of opportunities for us to explore, as there are potentially distressed assets for sale, and given our financial status at the moment, we could leverage on that strength to gain market share. So looking at our business today, we've in the LNG space, we've just done a boiler retrofit for our FSU-1. This is to help Petronas in lowering the operational costs. I think in this challenging environment, we need to make sure that we continue to help our customers improve their efficiency. And as Puan Rosai has mentioned earlier, we've actually seen some termination of contracts. Some of it is because there has been changes in requests from the customers, the end clients, the buyers of gas. But some of it has been requests for a change in the contract. I think we, as a service provider to our clients, we will always like to help our customers to manage this challenging market. But our priority here is in preserving our financial performance. Where it's possible for us to help in terms of managing the contract, but not losing out on our financial performance, we will try and help the client. So in the case of the Aman Hakata and Aman Bintulu termination, that is largely driven by changes in requirement for the gas buyers. They will require larger vessels for delivery of the gas, and we have been given a termination fee, which is more or less quite close to the nominal value that we would have received if we have served out the full tenure of the contract. At the Yemen LNG, the ongoing unrest has disrupted production, and that has led to the customers requesting for temporary suspension of the vessel. There is no breakage of the contract here. They just requested for us to lay up the vessel. And next, from 2017 onwards, then lost of hire from a full operation will be recovered. So, you know, going into the second half of this year, I think there will be some weaknesses in the LNG earnings because of this termination. Temporary suspension. Yep. So in the petroleum space, we've actually consolidated the chemical business together with the petroleum product segment to gain operational and synergy here. So moving forward, the chemical fleet, the 13 vessels, will be traded together with our clean petroleum product tankers. In the first quarter, I think the results have been fantastic. Both the term to spot ratio has improved from the previous quarters. We saw three VLCCs being renewed and two Aframaxes have been renewed, the contracts, at higher rates. At the same time, I think the low bunker prices have also helped. But given that we expect market to sort of soften, I think we're constantly looking out for alternative or new areas where we could expand our product. I think our lightering was slightly affected in the first quarter in the Gulf of Mexico due to the shutdown of Motiva refinery. But at the same time, in South America, where we're expanding the footprint for our lightering, we have gained and saw further strength as earnings from that is about $10 million right now. And at the same time, in the first quarter, our MCV Eagle Louisiana, it was the first DPR Framax to have participated in a flowback operation at the Julia field in Gulf of Mexico. Basically, a flowback is an operation where after the exploration stage, prior to the production, the well is being closed and sealed. And so the Aframax is being used as a recovery, and whatever flowback crude that was recovered will be then taken out to be refined and produced. So these are some of the additional things which we are currently exploring in terms of adding to our traditional shipping revenue. At the same time, I think we're constantly looking out for new longer-term charters as well as projects such as the DP shuttle tankers. In the second quarter, I think you will also see the consolidation of the Paramount tankers. As a consequence of that, you will see probably a $23 million impairment on our earlier investment, which will be offset by an increase in revenue from Paramount. In the offshore space, we've received the termination for notice of termination for the two MOPUs. We've already made some impairment for the receivables, finance lease receivables, and we're currently assessing what are the potentials for redeployment of the assets. As we mentioned, I think the chances of redeployment currently depends on whether we could find suitable brownfield projects where these assets could be redeployed. Similarly, explained by Puan Rosai, the Gumusut Kakap acquisition, we will be looking at a 200 million negative goodwill in the second quarter, which will prop up the earnings in the segment in 2Q. In the heavy engineering, I think some of you would have seen the results released by MHB earlier. It was quite a poor set of results, as some of our projects are nearing completion. The outstanding order book of 1.1 billion, it's something that we are concerned about, and we're looking out for further ways to improve our recurring income base. We're looking at also improving the marine repair business, and there are some opportunities which we are currently exploring. So to sum it all up, I think, you know, the environment that we're operating in is going to be challenging over the next few quarters, but we're also quite hopeful that, you know, there are some opportunities that we're currently exploring. And given the financial strength that we have, we're hopeful that we could leverage on that. And maybe as we approach finalization of some of these opportunities, then we could announce something to the market. But I think, you know, the set of results that we're seeing today in the first quarter, if we were to strip out some of the exceptional one-off items, it's probably not going to be a reflection of what it will be in the next few quarters. There will be some weaknesses which we're seeing, especially, I think, you know, in the petroleum space, we may see some further weakness, although we did very well in the first quarter. So that's from me, and I guess we'll now open it up for questions and answer.
With the completion of the presentation, hi Aaron, you can go ahead with the Q&A session.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Param. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants with questions to pose, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and you'll be placed in the queue. To cancel the queue, please press 02. Once again, 01 on your telephone keypad now. Our first question, Alex Goh from M Research. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I have about three questions. The first is, what was the exact compensation for the two LNG charter termination? And also, do you expect any more in the second quarter and for the rest of this year? Second question is, exactly how much was the actual value of the impairment for the two MOPUs? And the third question, okay, is I'm looking at your petroleum division where your operating profit almost doubled quarter on quarter. I'm just trying to find out, okay, what caused it? Because in your slide you mentioned that the actual charter rates was down quarter on quarter. So was there any one of items that caused your petroleum operating profit to go up? Thank you.
Okay, on your first question, the exact termination fee that we received from our client for Aman, the two Aman vessels, is about $100 million. US dollars.
In ringgit? US dollar.
Dollar. Okay. Yep. And the impairment of MOPU receivables is about $57 million US dollar. Okay. For the petroleum, despite the revenue of about the same level or a bit lower, we do have the benefit of the lower cost as bunker cost is very much lower. So cost has also gone down. That brings the profit better.
Okay, so the main driver actually was the bunker cost, is it?
Bunker being a big chunk of the cost. And the benefit from the low bunker price has helped the cost come down.
Okay. Following up on my first question, for the LNG termination, do you expect any more in this second quarter or the upcoming, for the next 3 quarters?
No. Termination, you mean? Any more termination?
Yes, right. Yeah.
No. I mean, both I've mentioned, Mopu and Aman. That's about it.
There's something was mentioned earlier was regarding the Yemen LNG that was
Yemen LNG, we have 2 vessels with Yemen LNG. They're not being terminated because of the situation in their country. They have asked for a temporary suspension or layup for now. But currently they have asked for 1 year. It should resume again next year, and they will pay back the amount, the differences in the amount that should have been our charter rate.
Will there be any further any impairment on this?
No.
Okay. Then the other, my final question is, what is the proportion of your bunker cost to your total operating expenses in this first quarter?
Bunker cost. Okay. About just a little bit above 10%.
Okay. Just one final question. It's regarding your chemical fleet. No? I know it's your operations are now added together with the petroleum, but how was the performance of the chemical fleet? Did it manage to be above break even, what is your outlook actually for the chemical fleet?
It's a small loss.
Okay.
And this, actually, they would have been on a break-even position. But as you see in our announcement, we have also changed our depreciation policy. The board, our board has approved the changes in our depreciation policy, which has increased the depreciation that lead to these losses of chemical segment. Otherwise, it would have been break-even.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Alex, any more further questions?
That will be all. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question, Raymond Yap from CIMB. Please go ahead.
Hi, Puan Razai, and hi, Paul. Welcome back.
Hi, Raymond.
Hi, Raymond.
Hi. Okay, first, just talking about depreciation, why is MISC reducing the useful life? Because I think the industry standard is to depreciate over 25 years for the petroleum and chemical tankers. So why is MISC doing something different?
I think the board feels that with the change in the vessel design and technology, we felt that we want to be more conservative, and hence the reason for the change from 25 to 20 years for the tankers and 30 years to 25 years for the LNG.
In the LNG space, for example, Raymond, you know, there's steam, there's the FDEs, there's Maggie, there's many type of propulsion, and which give a different efficiency, hence bring heightened competition. So the board has decided then we should be prudent and conservative on that and change our policy to bring it down.
Can I just add, but Raymond, if you see that the changes in the market, I think today technology has moved and evolved so fast. Design of vessels has also changed quite quickly. So I think to be on the prudent side, the management as well as the board has decided that we should be looking at a shorter useful life of the vessel. And if I may bring it back to the recent, the just announced acquisition of the Paramount tankers, the main reason why we need to take an impairment on the vessels is because of the change in the differences in the useful life of the vessels. The Paramount tankers are depreciated at 25 years, whereas now we're moving to a 20 years depreciation policy. So that's, you know, if we didn't have that difference, we would not have been required to take an impairment there. So I think, you know, given the changes in the marketplace, it is only prudent for us to make those changes.
Okay. Yeah, just going to the Paramount Tankers acquisition, I think there's a general consensus building that the tanker rates are reaching their height or perhaps have already passed their peak. And I think based on your comments just now, you would more or less agree with that, Paul. So under such a view, if you have such a view, then why is MIC buying Paramount Tankers?
I think, you know, if you look at the firstly, the value of the vessels which we have acquired, firstly, I think compared to the initial investment of the vessels, this is at a discount. But it's also a reflection of the market today. And if you look at the new build as well as second-hand vessel values, it has not changed very much over the last few years as compared to the changes in the charter rates. So if we take a longer view in operating these vessels, I think we still see a lot of values in making these long-term investments. At the same time, I think, you know, we are also looking at maintaining a new or more modern tonnages for the vessel fleet. These are vessels which are only about 5.5 years as compared to our overall fleet, which is roughly around the 10 years old now. So I think, you know, it makes quite a lot of sense for us to actually consolidate this investment. And, you know, at this point in time, I think after reviewing the economics, we feel that, you know, this will give us the best return for the buck.
Okay. And in terms of determining the price for the stake, were you using the historical cost of the vessels, or did you actually mark down the vessels to the current second-hand values?
These are based on the current market value.
All right. But because of the NAV you mentioned that was 168 million.
Yeah, so the NAV, that's just to give you a view on what was the NAV of the company back then, end of 2015. Mm-hmm. But the acquisition price is based on the market value currently.
Okay, but if 56.45 million buys you half of the company, if you double that up, that will basically...
There are also debt in the company which we will be assuming. So including that, the six vessels will be priced at roughly the current market value.
Yeah, but doesn't NAV take into account the debt as well?
That is the NAV as of 2015, Raymond. So come the second quarter, the NAV, based on the market value, I think there will be that impairment which we'll be taking. So all in all, the vessels or the negotiated acquisition price is based on the market value of the vessels.
Yes, but you know, if you just double up the cash consideration, that just gives you 113 million US dollars. But the NAV is 168, which is why you need to make that impairment. So shouldn't you have just a... I just don't understand why. Okay, never mind. Let me just have a think about it.
Isn't it good buying at low price?
Yes, that is right. Yeah. Okay. Okay. How about the compensation for the MOFU termination then? Is there going to be any compensation?
Yeah. The impairment is already net of the termination fee.
The impairment is net of the termination fee. Okay.
The impairment is the
So.
impairment of the receivables, right? This is finance lease. Okay, so the calculation is the receivable minus the termination fee is the impairment that we have to take.
Okay. Sure. Okay. That's it. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Our next question, Kong Ho Meng from UOB Kay Hian. Please go ahead. Kong Ho Meng from UOB Kay Hian, your line is open.
Hello? Hello?
Hi.
Hello? Can you hear
Hi.
me? Hello?
Yes, we do.
Hi, can you hear me? Yeah, okay. Oh, sorry.
Yes.
I thought I was cut off. You can hear me, right?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, Ho
Hello?
Ming. Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Ho Ming? Ho Ming, your line is open.
I think
Perhaps
you
you can
need to
speak
disclose
nearer to your phone device.
PBT
Thank
breakdown
you.
for your segment in US dollars in your previous slide. So may I ask you the
We
current
cannot
breakdown?
hear you now. It's not clear.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hello? Okay.
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you clearly now.
Breakdown in US dollars. Okay. Yep. The segmental breakdown in dollar terms for each of your segments.
What was your question again?
In US dollar terms, your PBT breakdown for each of your segments, because you used to disclose that in your previous slide, but in the current slide you don't have it. So yeah.
You want the US dollar for each segment?
I think you can find it in the
Yeah.
appendix. Yep.
In the appendix.
At the back.
Which is after the whole presentation.
It's
Which I need to do?
page 21. Is it for? Yeah. Page 21.
If you look at, I think in the pack that is sent out to you after it's on page 20 and 21, I believe, the
All
slide.
right. Okay, I saw it. All right. Sorry. Thanks. Right, I saw it.
Thank you.
Okay,
Any
thanks,
more
guys.
further questions, Ho Ming?
Not for now. Thanks.
Thank you, Ho Ming. Our next question, Vince Ng from KAF. TAF, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening, guys. Just following up on the previous caller's question on your segmental breakdown for profits. I think there could be some confusion there. If you look at page 21, there is actually an additional segment there which is not classified. Could you just share with us what that segment is at the bottom of the offshore segment?
Oh, that's not okay. That is
And the
our
liner
yard,
division.
heavy engineering. We don't have
Farah,
liner division already.
so that's not
Okay, to
disclosed.
answer your first question, that is actually our heavy engineering. And you're
Okay.
looking for liner.
We have edited.
We don't have liner already. So whatever we have in liner at the summary is under others.
And the petroleum shipping now includes chemicals?
Yes. You're right.
Okay. All right. The other question I have is on your Bursa announcement, where if you look at the minority line, there is obviously a massive charge-off there, about 200 million. And I believe it would be pertaining to one of your gains that you recognized during the quarter. Could you share with
Yeah.
us what those are?
It's the Aman class.
That's the compensation for the Aman?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So essentially, it's
Because
purely
those
pertaining
vessels
mainly to that.
are on a JV,
49.
Yeah.
On
All
a
right.
subsidiary company.
Okay, agreed.
It's a joint venture.
Okay. Would that also mean that the general and administrative expenses, which also came up quite sharply for the quarter, also pertains to one of some of these one-offs, charge-offs for the quarter?
Yeah, both of the liner provision and the MOPU sitting in that line.
Will be included. Yeah, it will be included there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Also, just a follow-up question on, I think, on the your dividend policy going forward. Has there been a, you know, some thought to it, and you know, is there any review of that going forward, despite your CapEx commitments on new acquisitions and all?
No, we don't have the dividend policy drawn up. But if you were, if you listen to the AGM when Mr. Yee did the presentation, we talk about looking forward for sustainable profit, fixed element of profits, which eventually would probably can go towards coming up with those policies.
Okay, sure, thank you. But just sorry, one more question I missed out is that would you be able to share with us how different are the rates that the petroleum shipping segment is getting compared to the term or the spot rates at the moment? How far are they? Because obviously you have some term which are locked in at lower rates. So we just like to have a gauge of how much or how different are they from the current spot or terms.
I think in the spot market, that is quite largely driven by the market. But if you look at our term portfolio, some of them would be on lower rates currently because some of the contracts were time charter were entered into since 2014.
How much lower, roughly?
If you look at the market rate back then, that will be a reflection. But if I I can give you a sense of the sort of renewal, typically we would probably see around maybe around 6 to 7 contract time charter renewal on a quarterly basis.
Okay. Would there be at least 5 or 10% realization of higher rates on those renewals?
The latest renewals are actually around the market currently. So if you were to compare them to rates more than a year ago, I think you would probably see quite a significant jump.
Okay, but on the blended basis, which means to say that there is still room for rates to move up, even though rates stay stagnant at least for a while. Would that be a fair assumption?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, that's all from me for now. Thanks so much for the call.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, participants with question to pose or to follow up, please press 0101 on your telephone keypad now. Our next question in queue, Daniel Wong from Hong Leong Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. My question is regarding on your appendix, which is on your presentation slide 20. I noticed that there are your PBT level for LNG shippings, there is 162. If I minus 100, basically you get about 60. But what is this non-recurring item of 13 million? And also, can you remind me on last year fourth quarter the 61.5? What is it regarding?
Sorry, the first question is on LNG, right?
Yes, correct.
There's the non-recurring is because of the Aman, the two Aman vessels, we do have impairment of our intangible assets of about
13 million.
$13 million
is on the Aman, so net off together you get about, because Aman you get about 100 million compensation.
Yeah, 87.
So
yeah, you can net that.
You get about 87 net. Okay.
Yep.
And then how about last year fourth quarter? Because last year fourth quarter you didn't mention any 61.5 million non-recurring thing.
Last year fourth quarter.
It's typo actually.
Don't answer that.
Okay. In Q4 last year, the non-recurring item should have been 16.5. You apologize for the typo there. This is with regards to the loss on disposal of Tenaga 2 and Tenaga 3.
On fourth quarter or third quarter?
Fourth quarter.
fourth quarter. That means on third quarter you have the 761.5 million.
Third quarter is the impairment of a Putri vessels.
Okay. Okay.
I see.
So
third quarter is 61 is correct. Fourth quarter is a typo. It should have been 16.5 million
for the disposal of two Tanaga tankers.
Yes.
Okay, and then on your for the next session, which is your petroleum shipping, your fourth quarter 13.4, I assume is another impairment as well. For your fourth quarter last year.
Chemical.
Quarter is the chemical. Impairment of chemical. Yes,
Impairment for chemical. 13.4 was a... Okay.
Impairment of our chemical vessels, A-class.
A-class. Okay, and then on your following page 21, you have a losses of 16.4 million core items in there for your offshore. So you since you get
because
57 million, you... Yeah, so Motbu, your losses was 57 million. 57 million losses, was it?
Yeah.
So basically you get a... Impairment 57, so basically you get around 40 million core profit for all the others assets. And then what about the 4.5 million losses? Non-recurring item.
There's impairment for our another FSU, which is ANSI. That one, the charter will expire within this year. So we assess and we've taken the impairment now.
So you expect this ANSI to receive lesser than you expected?
No, it's expired.
Early termination?
It is not early termination. It is expiry of contract. So because we know that it's coming, we just assess the impairment position and we have taken 4.5 million impairment.
Comparing the market, comparing value of the asset against the value where it can fetch in the market.
Yeah.
Okay. How about your last previous quarter for 7.8 million? What was it regarding? 7.8 million on fourth quarter.
Combined Abu and ANSI.
It's also partly ANSI and also FSO Abu.
ANSI Abu.
Mm.
So you don't expect further impairments for these offshore assets?
So 1 million.
Probably yes, some little amount for FSO Abu. But we don't foresee a huge impairment on any of other assets.
Okay, and then on the heavy engineering side, you have a 23.3 million losses, non-recurring item. What is it regarding to for the last year?
We talked about it last quarter. MHB, we had impairment on their goodwill and also the in totality of their equipment and the yard. That is because of the market, so we had to do the valuation, and that's the view that we have taken in quarter four last year.
I see. Because your last quarter, you didn't show it in your appendix. Okay.
I'm sure
and then,
we actually talk about it. That's one of the major items in last quarter.
Okay. So if I refer to your Bursa announcement, page nine. The last paragraph.
Yeah. Go ahead.
The last result. Early termination of contract for two vessels, and then you guys have written off related intangible assets of the contracts. of 54.6 million ringgit terms. What's this? This is related to the MOPU.
The Aman. We just mentioned to you just now, the 13 million.
30 million. Oh,
13 million US dollar. Yeah.
I see. Okay. Okay. What else? I think that's all for me. From me, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Daniel. Any more further questions?
Currently, no. Sorry. Just a follow-up question on the depreciation. You guys have additional depreciation of Ringgit Malaysia, 19 million for the quarter. If how much is it coming from the LNG side, and how much is it coming from other divisions?
Can we get back to you on that, Daniel, on the breakdown?
Yeah.
But I think that's purely on the basis of the accelerated depreciation.
Yeah. We'll get back to you on that.
Okay. I think that's all from me now. Thank you.
Any more follow-up questions, Daniel?
That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question, Aaron Key from Afin Huang Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, guys. I have a quick question. I refer to page 20 of your slide. You mentioned that petroleum shipping did very well in first quarter this year on a Q-on-Q basis. But according to your slide, on a USD term, there actually is pretty much flattish. So I'd just like to understand where's the favorable factor come from.
I think if you look at the earnings reported for the petroleum segment, the nature or the type of contracts will actually differ, and for time charters as well as spot voyages, the revenue are quite different. So on a gross basis, the time charter revenue will not include any bunker or other costs. So for the spots, that includes everything. So you may see that differences. So given that the time charter portion has increased slightly over the quarters, the changes in the revenue may not see the overall swing. But in terms of the bunker costs, there are some benefits to the charter rates.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, that's probably something that we can't show it to you at a gross level.
Okay, but if I were to translate the PBT USD to ringgit terms, on a Q-on-Q basis, it shouldn't be drastically different, right? Because it shows on the fourth quarter is 39 and first quarter is 41.
If you compare against quarter four, the reduction in there's a smaller profit in quarter one is largely because there were dry docking in quarter four, in quarter one, which led to lower
earning days.
Lesser earning days and lower profit.
Okay, so if you were to look on just on a ringgit basis, you would say petroleum segment is flat on a Q-on-Q basis.
On ringgit basis.
Yeah.
The same.
Okay.
On ringgit basis.
Another question. Okay. I have another question referring to your Busan announcement on page 1, other operating income of 779 million. Could you possibly provide a breakdown of the income?
Other operating income?
The other operating income of 779 million.
Okay, we had Aman Bintul and Hakata of 100 million US dollars, which translates to about 420 million ringgit. And then we have reversal of Equatorial Marine, which is about $60 million, which translates to about 250 million ringgit. And we also had the Mopus of about 48 So that's about another close to 180. Close to 200.
All the impairment and the reversal goes to the operating income. All the reversal and the notice.
Okay, for the MOPU, it's captured in the GNA.
MOPU is okay. Under GNA, but the AMAN okay. And the...
So, other operating income is 100.
It's AMAN and the... Equatorial Marine.
So that alone will give you close to 700, 680. Others would be other operating income. We have interest income. We have forex gain.
Okay. Let me just move on to your line in the net impairment provision. So that line is just purely on all the accumulation of your impairment, right? It wouldn't be. Will you net off with against a reversal of impairment?
There's no reversal of impairment.
Oh yeah.
During the quarter. So what we have booked in here, the 73.44 million ringgit, this is on the ANSI $4.5 million.
Okay.
And intangibles $13 million.
Okay.
For the impairment on MOPUS, as I mentioned earlier, it's sitting in the GNA.
Okay.
As well as provision for liner.
Okay. Yep. Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question, Ko Zi Chao, Marvin from Alliance DBS. Please go ahead.
Evening, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. First question on the Arman class vessels. Since when have they stopped operations after the contract was terminated, and what are the plans for them from here?
Aman, I think the termination came in around March. So currently we're looking at redeploying the vessels. We're looking at shorter term voyages currently, but we're actively looking out for
other opportunities
for those two vessels.
Yeah, it can be good candidate for projects like FSU.
Would they have to be converted then?
Yeah, if we have that kind of opportunity coming our way, that then it will be conversion of those vessels into FSUs, potentially.
I see. Okay. Then second thing, clearing up a little more of the non-recurring items. Just now there was a litigation reversal of provisions, right?
Yeah.
And you said that was a 16 million?
60.
Is that in ringgit or is that in US dollars?
US dollar.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how about the one on the MHI vessels?
It's sitting in general.
Your question is the amount or what?
Yeah, the amount of provisions on the MHI vessels.
$38 million.
Okay. Right. I think that's all the questions I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question, Ko Hong Ming from UOB Kay Hian. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just for the PBT breakdown, if you, between the petroleum and the chemical segment, how much would that be in US dollar terms for the first quarter?
Between chemical and petroleum?
And petroleum. If you didn't consolidate them, how much would that be on a standalone basis?
Chemical is about -7.
-7. So it's similar to first quarter of last year, lah. Okay.
Yeah.
And petrol will be about maybe 48-49.
Okay. But bear in mind that for the current quarter we have a higher depreciation.
Yeah, so your comparison, So there's a bit of depreciation differences between the quarters.
Okay, and on the LNG side, so if you if we ignore the 100 million termination, let's say roughly your core is $60 million, should we expect the kind of a core quarterly PBT going forward for the LNG?
We will see reduction because revenue from Aman class, that two vessels that has been terminated, will surely not be there, right? That, but
right,
that's
right.
Not huge. Yeah, otherwise, the Yemen LNG, as we mentioned earlier, that is on suspension.
And then we have also expiry of another Putri class.
Yeah, another Putri class is going to be going expiry of another contract. But
by July, right?
July.
But all the other three that has expired before has come into charter.
Okay. How about the Seri Bhakti? Has that expired already or still under contract?
When?
Sorry, again?
Seri Bhakti.
Seri Bhakti?
Yeah.
Seri Bhakti is on spot now.
On spot, I see. Okay. Seri Anggun?
Seri Anggun, we have secure 1 year charter.
Okay.
One
okay.
plus one.
But net is still, but then we should expect that there should be a lesser energy vessels to be employed down for next few quarters lah, because of this that they mentioned lah. Okay.
Yeah, but the new two LNG will come in, will be delivered September, and one
right.
end of the year.
Okay. Alright. Okay. Alright. I'd like to ask a question on your appetite for M&A. If you are look, you know, for any, let's say for if you're looking at any state FPSO contracts and all, what would be the kind of criteria that you want to avoid? You know, yeah.
Again, what's your question? If
For M&A opportunities, you know. Because that's part of your long term plan, right? To look at to maybe embark into acquisitions of offshore assets that have long-term contracts. Any color on that, and any kind of criteria that you prioritize, or any conditions that you avoid, you know, say counterparty risk.
I mean, in any investment, in any investment, we have our own criteria. We're looking at steady revenue, steady profit, and you know, that will have value creation to MIC.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, any color on that, like for example, what is the, if you have a minimum long term contract tenor that you would like any below than that you will not consider, I mean that kind of thing. Yeah.
We are open to explore things that will add value.
Okay. Okay. All right. That's all.
Thank you. Our next question, Raymond Yap from CIMB Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sorry to keep you guys so late. Puan Rozai, just a question here on the MOFUs again. At the point of their termination in March 2016, what was the outstanding finance lease receivable?
Outstanding receivable in the balance sheet, you mean?
Yes, what was the outstanding finance lease receivable on the two MOFUs just at the point of their termination?
Okay, it's actually, we received the termination in quarter one notice, but it's going to be effective June. At that point, it will be, the receivable is about 86 million for both.
86 million in total, okay.
Mm.
All right. Okay, sure. Okay, and then one question on the LNG PBT, because if I look at the fourth quarter versus the first quarter, it appears that the first quarter, excluding the 100 million, would be about 60 million,
And in the fourth quarter, it was 144 million. But I believe there was a 56 million compensation there for the termination of the Tsunaga class. So mm-hmm. if you look at it on a quarter-on-quarter basis, the LNG PBT actually fell in the first quarter compared to the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Yes, there are two Yemen vessels that in last quarter it was earning full rate. In this quarter, it was earning a reduced rate before it's now being on suspension layup.
Okay. So the reduced date, effectively, was it from the 1st of January this year?
Yes.
Okay. Understood. Okay. And the Tanaga Dua and Tiga stopped earning revenue from actually which point in the fourth quarter?
December.
Until December.
Okay. Okay, sure. That's it. Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question, Daniel Wong from Hong Leong. Please go ahead.
Just a follow-up question on the multiple side. I'm just trying to understand the basis of it. You guys actually granted a net impairment of 57 million. This after, even after you receive compensation from the clients. I thought usually
yes.
you're protected in terms of your total pay compensation is supposed to cover all your expenses, including your receivables or this. Or you guys actually give them a discount in terms of compensations.
It's as per contract. Okay. You have to remember this is a finance lease.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is an operating lease, lease, there will be net book value of the asset in our book. And the impairment will be assessed differently because then we'll be looking at the market value of the asset. But because this is accounts receivable in the balance sheet of finance lease, we had to impair all. So it's as if the asset is now down to zero value in balance sheet. Because the differences of operating lease and finance lease when it comes to this kind of assessment, we don't have the benefit of having the net book value or market value to be compared with.
Okay, so you guys, basically all the receivables, upcoming receivables from this asset has been impaired until zero value.
Yeah.
Even after you impair until zero value, you get the compensation, it doesn't really help. You still have to incur 57 million losses.
Because in any contract for termination, you will not get everything in full because you get back the asset, right? So in a way, we do get an asset with some value, but in the book, we have to impair all at the moment.
So at the moment, what would your book value of this asset?
Receivable is down to zero.
But in terms of the asset value, no asset value. Because now you're saying that it's right down to zero, right?
Yes. What we can probably do if we do market valuation once it's go off charter and being demobbed, it's either we go for market valuation or if it's going to be used or deployed for any other project, then it'll be a different situation.
Okay. I partially understand that. Okay, never mind. On your... Basically, at the current moment, you doesn't recognize any asset value from this MOPU yet.
Again?
At the moment, you doesn't recognize any asset valuation from this MOPU.
No.
Zero, right?
No.
Okay. So, the moment you redeploy this asset to another contracts or this... You guys have to write back this asset, the asset value, or
depending because when we redeploy, we may have to do modification, so it'll be a different situation altogether.
Okay. Okay, understand. Okay, never mind. On your first announcement, page 13, you have a breakdown of your segmental breakdown.
Okay.
I assume the net impairment provisions. Sorry.
The net impairment provision, yeah.
Of 73.5 million. Out of this 73, 54 million is from the LNG side. And then the remaining 18 million is coming from the from which divisions?
UNC, FSO UNC of offshore division.
Oh, okay.
It's 4.5 million there.
Okay, so and then after that, finance cost, you will park it under others division, is it? For the finance cost of 47 million, you'll park it under others segment.
No, it's split to the respective segment.
Split under the segment. How about your share of profits from joint ventures? How will you split it?
You go to the respective segment.
Respective segment.
How
joint ventures, you will have either offshore or petroleum side.
Yeah.
Can you,
yeah.
Do you have a breakdown for this share of profit from joint ventures?
Can we get back to you on that detail?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. That's all for me. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Our last question, Vince Ng from KAF CAF. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. Just a follow-up question. Could you remind us on the container or the liner side, your four Bunga Serojas, how long are they contracted for, the in-charters?
10 years.
So it should be expiring somewhere in 2020, 2021. Am I right?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. The other thing is on the FPSO side or the offshore side, I know it's too premature to ask you this, but you know, do you all see any likelihood of early termination of any of those contracts? I mean, how watertight are they? Because considering that oil prices are really staying quite low for quite a prolonged period of time, I guess investors are actually quite jittery about, you know, the prospects of FPSO contracts, cancellations and all. Maybe could I have just your comments on those?
Our view on early termination, I mean, especially those in Malaysian water, those FPSOs are actually contributing significantly to national oil production. So for early termination and stop production, we believe it's quite remote.
All right.
But we also understand they do have their issues with the low oil price. So we don't discount if we have to go for sort of some initiative to for cost reduction and whatnot with them.
Okay. Thank you for the comments. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Right, see you.
Thank you. As we have taken our last question, I will now hand the session back to Mr. Parham. Over to you.
With that, today we conclude the conference call. On behalf of MISC Berhad, we would like to thank you for your participation. To those who have not received our presentation slides, please do contact us and we will gladly provide you a PDF version. To the sell-side analysts, we would appreciate that you forward a copy of your published research reports to our email address at investor.relation@miscbhd.com for our reference. Thanks once again and have a good evening.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.